ready.
You're going to want to put on your tinfoil hat for this one. It's Mikey J on KGUP Presents.
Mothers, lock up your daughters.
It's time to see Mikey J. Mikey J.
Are you fucking with me?
We're dealing with one sick son of a bitch.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The earth is flat, bro, you need to check your facts. I got high up through the roof, and I landed on the moon. The moon flat too. In reality, everything is just in 2D, like a video game from 1983. Sides scrolling up and down the street while y'all sleep.
Call me B.O.B. cause I don't see the curve. Messing up my vibe, yeah, you got a lot of nerve. Read a book, nah, I don't wanna learn.
Read a book, nah, I don't wanna learn. They say that we are cake. For me and my homies, we don't say it, we just spray it. I'ma leave it, namaste. Do your research, how much I gotta say it.
Earth is flat. Bro, you need to check your facts. I got high up through the roof, and I landed on the moon. The moon flat too. In reality, everything is just in 2D, like a video game from 1983. I'm side scrolling up and down the street while y'all sleep. Y'all sleep.
How you doing? I'm Mikey J, and you're tuned in to another edition of KGUP Presents. This is episode 55, and if you're watching this on YouTube, make sure you head over to Rockfin, because my channel, you know, because of the sensitivity of this topic, it may get banned or suspended, so make sure you look me up on Rockfin. It's under KGUP_Presents. You know, it just seems to be a common thing for anytime anyone speaks any kind of truth, it just gets taken down or just suspended for whatever reason. And if you want to listen to the podcast version, you can listen to us on the audio podcast of your choice just by searching KGUP Presents, like Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and so much more. If you can't find me, just let me know and I'll get on it ASAP. You can also find the uncut and uncensored videos on my Patreon. The link is in the description. And the best part, it's only $3, so it's not going to break your bank. In the last episode, we aired the much-anticipated Altering Our Skies, and I had a lot of fun making the video to show off the basics of chemtrails and contrails and weather modification, geoengineering, and what the difference is between contrails and chemtrails and the type of chemicals they are injecting into our atmosphere. And that was like my primary focus over the last 130 years. But in today's episode, I wanted to bring someone on who has a lot more experience and professional knowledge about this topic, and to do a kind of a deep dive. We'll see where it goes and talk about actual activists. So without further ado, let's bring him on, the man behind the documentary Frankenskies. He's also an activist against the use of GMOs, vaccines, 5G, fluoride, and more importantly, to advocate for our health and well-being. Please welcome the legendary Matt Landman. What is going on?
Hey, thanks, Mikey. That's a great intro. I really appreciate you. What's up? I'm happy to be here.
Good. Yeah, I'm really excited to have you on. I've had so many recommendations to have you on as a guest, and so I've heard you before in like multiple episodes, and I hadn't really thought about it, and then once I saw Frankenskies, I was like, oh yes, definitely. So yeah, welcome to the show.
Thank you, and I'm really glad that your passion is truth, especially the chemtrail rabbit hole, because that's very important. So many things have happened recently over the past couple of years, especially that that particular truth likes to get kind of put by the wayside or dimmed or given less attention, whatnot. But it's still very, very important, especially now more than ever as climate change, lockdowns, and all this weather engineering, even the hurricane today. So lots to talk about.
Definitely. Yeah. So speaking of your documentary, I recently watched it, Franken Skies, and I have to say that the film was done really well, and it kind of gave me ideas of how to do mine because I didn't want it to look so similar that, you know, it took away the originality. And but I have to say it's like it's so difficult just to piece together clips from like news organizations and like you know, professors and stuff. And I have my own like kind of spin on it. So how did you like get into this whole chemtrail conspiracy type thing? What was your life like before you got into all this?
Yeah, good question. I was just a normal kind of person. I definitely never found necessarily the job of my dreams. Any job that was some authority, it took me only a little bit of time to be able to walk out of there. I worked, like, I remember counting one day when I was on a Greyhound bus. I've worked like 45 jobs, so you name it. And eventually I went back to school, got a master's in business. And even then the jobs that I was getting were like business jobs, you know, and you end up selling out basically, or having to question whether you're going to have to, you know? Right. And so it's like, at the end of the day, I wanted to be outside. So I got a job on a farm. And by working on a farm, and it's funny because usually people would, you know, get a job on a farm and then go to school. And then they think, you think the American dream is like to, I did the opposite, and it was actually the dream, you know, in that way. But after going to all this school, I realized I'd rather be grounded and work in the ground. My last name is Landman. So my family's Sicilian, and we came over on Ellis Island. They translated it as Italian before, you know, a couple hundred years ago or whatever. But now it's Landman, and here I am. And I might as well be grounded and working on the in the land. And I learned so much working on farms. Yeah. I've worked on in the cannabis industry and cannabis farms when that was something. Now the whole industry is falling apart. There's some and it's actually incredible what's going on in that industry with this bait and switch with the legalization. But they basically got all the farmers, really side tangent really quick, but they got all the farmers to tell them what they're doing, all the cannabis farmers to tell them what they're doing and give them legalization with the promise of being able to sell all their stuff. But then knowingly the price was of the crop was crashed. And so now, you know, when something was $2,000 a pound, now it's $200 a pound. How are you going to make any money? So they, instead of like going around and arresting everybody, the government just bankrupted everybody knowingly, doing that like strategically, like they do to everybody. We could talk about the economic hitman in any walk of life, and that's just one of them. And so I worked on farms in Northern California, but the farm that I worked on was organic, everything farm, potato, squash, vegetable farm. Worked at the farmer's market, amazing opportunity. And I love people. I love working in farmers markets. But at the end of the season, when we're out there harvesting, it's harvest, the end of the season in California. So a lot of people don't even know that California has like this dry season. And then it rains at the end of the year, right? Like when I grew up in Virginia, we get thunderstorms all the time. It didn't matter what time of year it was. But it's very seasonal on the West Coast. The entire West Coast is very seasonal. So when the rains do come, they come on for like a few months. And when I was living in Northern California, going to school and then working on the farm, we were in a drought. And so we were out there harvesting in the midst of this drought, and this big storm was about to come. And I witnessed firsthand weather engineering, but I had nothing. I had no basis for it. So it's just like you're walking down the street and you see Cookie Monster, but you have no basis for even what Cookie Monster is. So you just brush it off, right? Even though Cookie Monster walked right by you, you should be like, oh my gosh, Cookie Monster in the flesh. But it's like, you've never seen the show. You don't even know. You don't care, whatever it is. Maybe that's a bad reference. But it's like literally seeing something like Bigfoot or whatever, and like having I have a really good, I'm on a little tangent, but I have a good, really good reference. I've seen weird, crazy stuff in the skies by just looking up all the time. And there's one thing I've seen is a black line in the sky coming out the nose of a jet. Like, it's not a shadow from a chemtrail. It's coming out the nose of like a drone. Maybe it's like a navigation thing for the chemtrail spray. So I met a woman who had seen that exact thing, a black line coming out of the front of the jet, but she saw it and then saw me a couple hours later and was telling me about her day and the chemtrails that she saw. But that memory was tabled in, or shelved in her mind, and she didn't even remember it anymore because she had no reference point. She saw something crazy weird in the sky. She's like, what? And then she's like, oh, well, okay, whatever. Then later on, she's telling me she doesn't even remember. Then I told her, I saw this weird black line in the sky. And she's like, oh my God, I saw the same thing. I'm like, why didn't you tell me when you're talking about the sky? She's like, I forgot. I didn't even remember. I didn't have a frame of reference when I saw it. So it was just like, you know, blanked it out. So me, when I first saw chemtrails, I didn't have any frame of reference. I was just like, whoa, that's weird. It's not raining. Bunch of planes showed up. They zigzagged the sky and left lines, but it must be normal. Who am I to, like, what am I to think of that? You know what I mean? I didn't have that really crazy suspicious mind. I did know about 9/11. I'd seen Zeitgeist. It was pretty early. It was like, this is around, 2012-ish, right? So
yeah,
basically I had a memory, something, I witnessed something is the story. And then further down the line, my friend said to me, we were talking about 9/11. I was talking about how kids won't even admit to it because they weren't even hardly born then. And like, people's only reference is the Google search, and everyone, what they say about 9/11 is what they say, like youth. I know you're around my age. We said in the pre-show, but I know people that are like really young and in college and stuff still, if you try to talk to them about 9/11, for instance, they'll say, oh, I've heard both sides, and they won't want to take a side either. Because it's like, they don't have any reference point. They weren't even alive. You know, we were like literally on the edge of our seats. We were there, you know, yeah. Like literally, like we witnessed it. I was in DC. I lived in the DC area at the time. And my girlfriend at the time went to Pace University right next to the Twin Towers. So I was involved, you know, wow. Emotionally, whatever. So I have a reference point. And then to learn that it later, quickly thereafter, that, it was bogus and stuff, you know, that's emotional for me. I'm like mad about it, but people don't have a reference point. So my friend on the phone, sorry, I'm bouncing around, I'm almost done. My friend on the phone, he told me, hey, do you know about chemtrails? You know, yeah, the kids don't know much about 9/11, but what about chemtrails? That's everywhere in people's face. You know, how could you deny that? I hadn't heard the word before. I didn't have a name for what I'd seen, you know, the few weeks previous, whatever. And so I went and looked it up on the internet, and boom, all this rabbit hole, you know, unraveled. I found like a movie. I found that there's activism on it. Mm-hmm. And I was like first really inspired and wanted to like tell everyone, but then I was like, oh wait, there's other people doing it. And that's a psychological thing. When there's other people doing something, then you're like, oh, well, I won't do it. You know, that's something, that's how controlled opposition works. That's how anything works. It's kind of like defeating to have people like activists, if you look at them the wrong way, which we're programmed to look at people like these heroes, like Superman's going to do the job for you, when everyone needs to get involved, really, and the heroes in everyone, and the truths in everyone. You know, like, you don't need to ask anyone the questions. You can get them answered within you and just go outside and look at the sky every day. You know, you don't need a documentary or anything like that. So once I had a reference point and I saw that there was activism, I was like, cool, wow, amazing. And I just kept living my life. But then slowly but surely, I was like not satisfied with that. You know. And then why did you make your movie? Because you wanted to get involved, right? You wanted to put your artistic, you wanted to do it. You wanted to be involved. You wanted to do something. You wanted to share your take on it, you know? And so I did that with Frank and Skies, and I started having conferences and got some traction. And then after chemtrails, I had like three conferences on chemtrails and made the movie, and I realized I'm gonna make the sequel film, but it's slow in the making, in the works. But after chemtrails, I realized that truth isn't just chemtrails, you know, it's a frequency. Mm-hmm. So once you start riding that vibration of truth, all these other truths start becoming evident and self-evident. So then I, you know, delved into other truths. I started an EMF protection clothing line. I made this website, Actual Activist, that's like a one-stop shop for truth. In my opinion, it's the best website on the internet. I love it. And And yeah, I just keep on going. Here I am. Thanks for having me on and for listening to hearing me out on that little tangent.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I mean, you just said it. I mean, it's in your face. And it's one of those things where I complain almost like on a daily basis. There are some weeks, months where it's just nonstop and the trails just keep coming and it's just never ending. And it's like, what are they doing? Stop messing with the atmosphere. And I've been trying to figure it out, but I never really dove deep into why and what they're putting in the sky. And it wasn't until I was putting together my documentary that I discovered like the patents, the ingredients, the cause of what these ingredients will do to our systems. And I was like, I have to put this out. I mean, there was a couple of times where I was like, I don't know why I'm doing this, but it's kind of like the root of like my awakening. And, you know, I think it started with like JFK, but it was still distant. And, you know, JFK Jr. and how he was killed, and that was still kind of distant. And then 9/11 happened. And, you know, I was in Northern California, and it happened in New York. And even though like all our laws started to change, it still felt distant. It wasn't like something I saw every day. And chemtrails just was always in the back of my mind. And like, and even now, I mean, it frustrates me because you can tell like 3 days later, it just starts to rain or it gets really humid and hot. And then they just blanket the skies where it just feels like we're in a baking dish, and then all that humidity just increases the temperatures, and you're like, it's so damn hot, you know? And it's like, what is their ultimate goal? And then you realize when you dig deep enough, it's like these modification facilities, they're all over the country. They're just everywhere. And they work in unison with all these countries. And then like, oh my God, it's just everywhere and everybody's involved. And it's like, they're causing climate change. You know, it's like, what, we have to do something about this. And that's why I wanted to talk to you and just kind of get your point of view and like, how can people get involved and partake in like how you do things and then see the other things that you're activists against? I mean, it's not just chemtrails. That's just the surface, you know. Can you talk about what other things that you like to advocate against and, you know, what you stand for?
Well, it's basically where you're at, you know, do what you can where you're at with what you have. So if you live in a small town and it has fluoride in the water, it's actually an amazing opportunity to learn the local ordinances and to get you it. If you contact like the Fluoride Action Network, or you can even contact myself, it's not that hard to put together and to put it on the ballot. And once the facts are laid out, it's easy to get the fluoride out. It costs the city money. It's the efficacy has never been proven. It's like, right, it's toxic, actually. Like, there's all these things. Fluoride is super bad. And so in the end, you can become an actual activist. You don't have to become a chemtrail activist. There's all these other scopes that, you know, once people sink their teeth into, wait a second, they've been lying to me about that, then they wake up to one thing, and then the truth starts to snowball and avalanche. I mean, GMO foods, for instance, we go to the grocery store and they're labeled. Like, they're labeled. If it starts with a certain number on the barcode, it's GMO, it's conventional, and then the 9 is organic, I believe. I'm pretty sure. So I'm like 100%. No, I'm like 99%. So you can tell by the numbers. It's labeled also organic usually, but some places it's not. So those things are labeled. How did they get labeled? Activists, they spoke up and they took it to a freaking national level. They took it to the FDA. They got those things labeled. So now we know if things have been sprayed with glyphosate or not. You know, I worked on an organic farm. Organic farming is amazing. It's basically just growing stuff naturally. And the inputs that you put in, like for the nitrogen, you're using chicken poop and you have to wait for it to decompose. And like You're putting ladybugs and praying mantis for the aphids, and like for the crows, you're doing cutouts of dead crows and you're outsmarting the crows. And they think that you shot a crow with your shotgun, but you didn't. And it's like, because the scarecrows, they don't care anymore. They're smart. And like you're doing smart practices and you're growing really good food. People think you can't grow food. Give me a break. It's so easy. And the monocropping, the thing is, people don't understand that there's varietals of all these different foods. You can grow 100 varieties of something, and then the bugs and the mold comes, and then one of your varieties of de is dead, but you still have the other 99 varieties of potatoes or whatever, oranges or whatever, apples. There's literally hundreds of varieties of everything on earth. It's unreal. It's mind-blowing. Like, ask someone how many varieties of lemon there are. They don't know. Nobody knows. It's because that information's kept from us. So take what's passionate, take what you're passionate about. I mean, take your passion, whether it be clothing or knitting or music, and then flip it into activism. Inform people in some way, shape, or form how to grow food or how to take care of themselves or how to not eat processed foods. And I'm coming into this new diet. I mean, I keep learning, right? It's like I've been on
Same.
this war path forever, and I figured that I'm never gonna learn anything new, and I learned something new like right now and tomorrow and yesterday, and I'm like, oh wow, surprise, surprise. Now I'm not surprised, but literally I keep learning. It's something else. I really do. And then you get to pass that on, and you just keep growing, and as you honor the truth with integrity and give that light a chance. It's like you don't just all of a sudden change. Things are a lot slower in density in physical form than you would expect, but slowly you change your diet. And you start to all of a sudden like be getting sick by eating the freaking pizza that you used to eat or whatever, maybe. It's like, wow, I used to eat that every day, and now it's toxic for my body because it's got all those toxins in it that my body was just used to eating. You know what I mean? I can tell you probably have a good diet. You look good. So it's like, you know what I mean? And the truth brings you to that, those things. It's like honoring your intake. It's like, oh, wait a second. My tap water's got fluoride in it. Maybe I need a filter. It's like, oh, now I'm honoring my intake, honoring my inputs. It's activism starts at home. Honoring your inputs, and then honoring your children and your family and your surroundings. And then the most important thing is meeting people where they're at. It's like if your neighbor or your coworker or your grandma or your child or whatever it is, if they're not hearing you, it's because you're not doing the best job that you could do to assess the situation, meet them on their level. They don't want to hear about directed energy weapons and freaking flat Earth if they've just heard the word chemtrails or whatever. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like there's levels of it all, and like definitely crazy triggers. Like I see in the news all the time, like this flat earther's now dead because he believed in this. And it's like, whoa, it's like he's dead, and you're shaming his belief in the heliocentric model. Like, where did that come from? It's like the dude
That's what they
died,
do.
you know? Yeah. It's just othering, othering. So we want to smash that othering by applying knowledge in a grounded fashion. That's just where it's at. So it's like, start a CSA. I've always wanted to do that. And anyone can do it, especially in these suburbs in the United States. Oh my gosh. Like, I've gone to other countries and I've lived in poor neighborhoods, but like the suburbs where I grew up, like I didn't have a nice yard, but all my friends did and stuff. And the CSA potentials in some of these really nice suburb neighborhoods is very high. Like you could easily set up a community supported agriculture CSA. And what you do is you get a freaking pickup truck, get a grant or some people donate, and you help people farm on their grass basically. And it's like, no, your backyard is now going to grow carrots, and your neighbor is going to grow onions. And guess what? Now you don't got to worry about carrots or onions anymore. And Susie down the way, she says she's going to have sunflowers and sunflower butter all day long. And she says she'll trade with you because she's on the list. And it's like you start creating this community where you didn't even talk to those neighbors because you're a gringo. Sorry. Like, I don't know. Like, other cultures talk to people. But either way, we don't talk to each other because we're afraid of each other.
We're conditioned to be that way.
Yeah. Gringo is like a. Not just white people, it's just Americans don't want to talk to one another. So it's like, it's because they think everyone's like hating them. They're literally, or they like everybody's trained to think that there's this fear and hate and everyone's against them. But guess what? Go get to know your neighbor and you might even have a barbecue or laugh. Yeah. Imagine that.
You touched on so many things and you know, even said that, you know, if you have a music, if you're into music, you know, change that platform into activism. When that's exactly what I did. I used to interview music artists. And I slowly, you know, after COVID happened, I just started to slowly realize that I can't talk about this and it's this stuff anymore and pretend like nothing's going on. And that's what it was like living in Los Angeles. It's like everybody just has their head in the sand and wants to ignore the real issues and just make music and pretend like everything's hunky dory, you know. But I was just more and more, I just had this heightened level of awareness and I'm like, I can't hold this in anymore. I have to do something. And so I had this platform, completely changed what I did and like my interviews and I didn't know how else to do it other than interview people that knew more than me. And so now that I'm learning more and more, I'm starting to kind of like venture off and talk about stuff that I actually do know about. And I'm actually writing a book and I'm all over the place in this book. And so I'm trying to narrow it down to like one or two topics. So I have to like rewrite it. I already wrote 70 pages and I feel like I'm not even a third of the way through.
What's it about?
It's actually about our hidden history and how everything's just been altered. And because the controllers since the mid 1800s have been redesigning America to be what they want it to be, to make us like better workers. And they completely destroyed God and recrafted it to work in their favor. And they just redid the entire education system. They redid the political system. Like they just hijacked everything that they possibly could because they could afford to, they had the money to do it. And so they manipulated everything. And so we just think everything that we're taught is true. And so we don't question it. We think, you know, these educators, they have all these doctorates and, you know, degrees, so they know better. Why would NASA lie? You know, why would all these agencies lie? But, you know, year after year, we uncover the latest deceit and plan. And, you know, with all these like CIA documents are revealed and how we manipulated all these other countries and how like these laws are being changed and we are manipulating our own people. But people see that as like, oh, that was 20 years ago. That would never happen now. But we constantly prove as you live on and live throughout the years, you discover like everything does happen to us. And it's happening now. And we just think that nothing would ever happen to us because we always see everything happening to other countries and not our own self, you know? And that's how I see like this whole chemtrail topic of, you know, why would they do that to our own people? And over, it's for the good of the climate change and, you know, to mitigate global warming and all this stuff. And then they redefining it by calling it something else like geoengineering or whatever the latest, you know, talking point is. They'll just rename it because people have amnesia and forget so quickly.
Well, that really got me totally livid because I was living that when that came out. It was probably like 4 years ago. But there was this big slander campaign against chemtrail activists and chemtrails. It was a full-on research study out of UC, University of California, Davis, UC Davis. And it was, this is fascinating. So this is great. I hope that you can document this or whatever. So 77 out of 79 scientists supposedly come out and debunk chemtrails existing. So this whole thing came out and it's called SLAP, S-L-A-P. For secret large-scale atmospheric program. So they're denying a SLAP program. So they claim that activists say that there's a SLAP program, which we never said that. Okay. Chemtrail activists, which I know every single one of them, you know, they never said that there's a SLAP. Okay. So they came up with a SLAP to literally like bitch slap us. Okay. And then like a week later, They came out with geoengineering, bro, and it was like exactly what chemtrails were. So they went through every single news outlet everywhere on Earth. Everybody on Earth saw this whole study. 77 out of 79 scientists say that chemtrails are not real based on the SLAP definitions, all this like scientific blah, 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 blah. If
Wow.
you dig into the SLAP, really 490, like 500-ish. People slash scientists were interviewed or solicited, we'll say, because I don't know about the word interview. They're probably sent some piece of paper in the mail. Okay. And then of those people that were solicited, the ones that responded were 79. And of the 79, 77 said that chemtrail conspiracy theorists are psycho. Okay, so let's just pause there. 77 is a crazy, like Freemason, like a number that's used. And when the whole pandemic happened, supposedly 77 5G towers were attacked in the UK by crazy, right, like crazy hoodwink nutty activists, which that didn't happen, but they claim it, and that's part of the like othering and making conspiracy theorists look crazy. So they use the 77 number when they're throwing things in our face, and they like to claim that they are with their, for the people that know the numerology, whatever, because that's one of their numbers that they play with the evil dickwads. So then, pardon me. So then they claim, okay, so there's no chemtrails. No chemtrails exist. All these scientists say so. And then all of a sudden, the word geoengineering hits the world, and they say, we have the solution. Harvard's going to do the study. We're going to come out with geoengineering. They're going to do an experiment. Bill Gates is backing it. It's going to dim the sun. They might use diamond dust. They might use mirrors. They might use sulfur. They might use aluminum. Hey, would they've actually been using aluminum the whole time? And then they're just like reverse engineering what they've been doing, and the whole
Wow.
social engineering, psychological warfare, it worked. Everyone's like, oh, Matt, did you hear? They've got this thing, new thing called geoengineering. They show me a picture. I'm like, oh, where do you think they got a freaking photo of something that they haven't done yet that looks exactly like what I've been telling you? Or chemtrails. Duh.
Yeah.
People have this like, it's exactly this, Mikey. And I'm a firm believer in this. Nobody wants to believe that there's actually evil on Earth. So they'll quote, sell their soul, but they're not really, because they don't think they're selling their soul to the devil. You know what I mean? Nobody wants to believe in evil.
Right.
Nobody wants to think that there's actually bad,
In our own
you know?
country.
Or in general, I mean, nobody
Yeah.
wants to admit it. I mean, like, dude, there's people getting killed by our troops all the time. There's evil on Earth. Like, we're doing bad things. We're killing ourselves. Yeah. Or, yeah, why would they do it to ourselves? That's the qu first question. So people have this general kind of mind control of, they're naive. It's ingrained in the psychology. It's like you watch a horror movie and it's like that's a movie that would never happen in real life. And it's ingrained in the sitcoms and everything. It's like, oh, the government would never be out to get you. They collect taxes from you to do good for you. Duh. You know, it's like the fluoride in the water. If you can wake up to that, that's a nice little, you know, foot in the door in the rabbit hole. Maybe I answered your question. Sorry. So I went on another tangent.
Well, that's why they make the movies that they do. I mean, they seem so realistic that you don't believe it. So when they actually do these things, you're in disbelief. You think that it's the movie, and it's like, oh, that's just in movies. That's not real life. I mean, if you think about all our programming, like, people today are just really lazy. They don't like to research anything. The average person works 8 to 9 hours a day. They pick up their kids after work. They were from school. They cook dinner. They plop on the couch and turn on the TV and veg out for 2 to 3 hours watching sitcoms and movies and watch the game. And then after that, they watch 30 minutes of the news. And for those 30 minutes, they feel like they're informed. And then the average person has no room to do any research because they're where are you going to research? When? And so you come across a person like yourself or me, and they scoff like, oh, that's a conspiracy right there. You're nuts for even looking into it. I mean, they literally think that you're crazy for questioning the narrative. for questioning the government. And, you know, so when they actually do strike, you do strike an interest, they Google chemtrails, and the first thing they get is an op-ed from frickin' a Harvard student debunking that geoengineering exists. And yet there's another page on the Harvard University website that says that they have a geoengineering program, and you can see it for yourself. You know, it's, I think it's geoengineeringenvironmentharvard.edu. So they disclose how they manipulate the weather using aluminum particulate matter. I mean, it's right there on their freaking website.
People don't know how to do research, for one. Generally speaking, the common, like most people out there in the world, they don't know how to do research. They just don't.
Yeah.
It's like you don't just, I'm sorry. Like, for one, you have to be cultured. Okay. If you haven't traveled the world, you don't know how to like change your words to get a different, to get the same point across. It's like, if you're asking for something and it doesn't compute, you use different words because you're in a different country and you figure it out. You know, that's how it is when you're doing in the search engine. You know, when I grew up, there was 20 different search engines where you could look up things different ways. And I have friends that became market researchers and for the, literally that's their job, you know? And I pride myself in being able to like dig around, and what I can find on different topics is the mainstream narrative and the conspiracy narrative. And somewhere in between is the truth sometimes, because both ends are controlled, you know? So people, if they're like looking for something, like, oh my God, name anything. I've got an amazing example, Coca-Cola. So the internet also changes everybody. This isn't even like the world that like some of us grew up in, where you reference books and the books are the same that they were. The internet changes. So when I was a kid, people would trash Coca-Cola. And when the internet came out, there's all these easily found studies on Coca-Cola. You put a penny in the Coca-Cola, it disintegrates. There's even like farmers in India who use the Coca-Cola to spray their plants to kill the bugs and stuff, because it's cheaper than the pesticides. That's crazy. It's very bad for your pH. Like I said, it burns your teeth, whatever. It's bad. Coca-Cola is bad. Like, come on, let's effing admit it. It's bad. Okay. So you type into Google Coca-Cola bad, like you're just looking it up, like Coca-Cola bad, because that's how you do searches. And people don't even know how to do searches though. Like it blows my mind. Like I'm sorry to like, I don't want to put anybody on blast because people got upset with me today on Facebook for doing this, but people will reach out to me and they'll say, hey, Matt, you know that post you made like 3 months ago? Can you send it to me? And I'm like, what do you mean? That it was saying something about SSRIs are bad. I'm like, just Google SSRI bad.
Right.
That's it. You can find all that stuff. It's like, people don't know how to, I'm sorry, they don't know how to do Google searches. A lot of people do not know how. And then when they do, they just see the very surface level stuff. And if you do search Coca-Cola bad, you'll find a study, a scientific study with humans being tested, funded by Coca-Cola. That's the fine print, okay, mm-hmm. Mind you. And the study says, what's more hydrating, water or Coca-Cola? And literally, they have human subjects drinking Coca-Cola, drinking water. Then they're waiting, they urinate, and people are retaining more of the Coca-Cola. Therefore, they are more hydrated by Coca-Cola, and Coca-Cola is more hydrating. This study brought to you by Coca-Cola. So it's like, I mean, come on, there's studies out there saying like, you know, cigarettes aren't that bad. And if you rewind 50 years, doctors were recommending certain brands. It's like, where are we going to have like the wherewithal to actually just use our brains and our discernment and our gut and our heart and be able to dig around on the internet? Like, I will use different search engines if I have to. I will dig to like the 10th page. I mean, people don't even know that Firefox is owned by Google. So you're really not even, I mean, DuckDuckGo, people think is like this thing. You can use Brave, you know, Brave is something. There's different ways to look around, but you'll always find something different, and you have to find the construct of like, what is this bipolar, like yin yang kind of argument that they're saying, and where's the truth? What's in between? Okay. Right. Like Cheerios. Okay. Look them up. It's got glyphosate in it. Does it? Studies say yes. Okay. Is glyphosate poisonous? Found out in court causes cancer. It's like, okay, what, Where can we discern to the point where it's like, okay, maybe the processed food I shouldn't be putting in my body anymore and get it by organic. So you can do the research, come to the conclusion, have a hypothesis, test it. I don't know what else to say. It's like searching on the internet should not be that difficult. But people have, I think if people don't have that same mindset or aren't trained in doing so or haven't been like fighting for their life like their whole life, like me, like literally I was a chemtrail activist and then a million people are like, you're crazy, blah, blah, blah. And I have to like figure out a way to show people what I'm talking about. You know, it's like there's all it's not that easy. It's not that easy to explain to people that they've been completely duped. Like the NASA thing, it's very difficult. It's like, what do you mean they're just lying and taking our money? It's like, yeah, your belief system is flawed. I'm sorry to be the messenger on that one. You know what I mean?
You brought up the whole search engine thing. I mean, a couple of years ago when Gavin Newsom was being recalled, that's a perfect example. Like, you could not find the recall petition anywhere. If you tried to Google it, it was completely hidden. I only knew about it because I went to DuckDuckGo, and that was before they were compromised. And that's how I found the petition. And then, of course, I signed it and sent it off because, I think he's a douchebag. And then he just completely denied that there was any kind of petition or any, 10,000 people wanted him out. And so I think they had 100,000 signatures. I don't remember, but it was a big number. And then he just like, oh, these are just Trump supporters. These are, crazy conspiracy theorists, and scoffed at it, decided to just have an election. But they promoted the heck out of that. And they made sure that people found those results so you could vote for him and have him reelected. So it was, that's just you just kind of like an obvious thing that you could have uncovered, but mainstream media just kept it under wraps because they all work together. It's just like when I interviewed with with the Times, I mean, they kind of laughed at me when I said I wanted to be a neutral writer and just report the news as it was intended. I didn't know about taking a side and like, well, this is the Times, we support the president if they're a Democrat. And I even had an argument with my journalism professor, and she unfriended me because I didn't want to pick a side. I didn't want to work for Fox News. I didn't want to work for a conservative writer. I just wanted to be a legitimate like news reporter. So I had to learn the hard way that it's all deceit, every bit of it.
Yes, ain't that the truth? It is, all of it is. I had a thought, but I spaced on it when I started thinking about you were gonna be a reporter?
I originally, I used to be a NASCAR writer back in the day, and that was like a lifetime ago when my father was into NASCAR, and I really didn't like the sport, but I wanted to have something in common with him. So I kind of forced myself to watch it with him, and then every Sunday we would sit and watch the races together. And then one day I was like, I would like to become a writer, and so I just started writing mock articles, and then I sent them to this the editor, and they freaking hired me on the spot and became a NASCAR writer. But then as time progressed, everything was about clicks and bait, getting attention, and that's how I got paid. And so I was competing with so many writers that I wasn't making as much money. So I was like, all right, I'm gonna get out of it, go to college, become an actual journalist and have a degree in it, and become a news writer. And that's how I got into journalism, and then that turned into having my podcast to talk about music. And then I had a NASCAR show for a while, for a couple of years. And then I mean, that seemed like a lifetime ago.
Amazing. So I remember what I was going to say, what I was thinking about. So the talk of controlling the flow of information, and you go on Google and you got to dig around and know what where to dig and how to dig and what have you. So you go on YouTube now, and things have changed. Oh my gosh, the landscape has changed. I'm going to make a note that we got to talk about bots. So the landscape has completely shifted dramatically over the past couple of years, because they want to make this like, you can't discern, but you're locked in your house, metaverse, like what else is there to do? But there's no like telling up from down, left from right. It's like a full on, it's a full on attack. So there's like this flood of disinformation, and then there's all the censorship. So a couple of years ago, you go on YouTube or Google and you type in Frankenskies and my movie comes up, or geoengineering, and you have all these different sources, right? Mm-hmm. Now it's been basically completely wiped from YouTube. But the most fascinating thing that I found is, my ego aside, whatever, Frankenskies is gone, whatever, it's fine, fucking find it somewhere else, pardon my French, find it, it's on the internet, Frankenskies.com, Frankenskiesmovie.com, BitChute, it's on everything. But you know, you just got to know to look now. It's not going to be put in your face like it could be. But if you go onto YouTube and you're curious like everyone else, and you type in geoengineering and chemtrails, the first thing that comes up, because I logged out of all my stuff, I got on someone else's computer, I wanted to see. And the first thing that comes up is Geostorm. So people watch Geostorm, which is not a documentary. It's a crazy narrative science fiction film where the AI takes over and the weather's controlled and it has a mind of its own. And it's like total science fiction. And what you said before is, when people go into the movie theater, they sit down, they temporarily suspend their disbelief. It's a temporary suspension of disbelief. They will believe anything when they're in the theater, but they know that it's a fairy tale. Mm-hmm. Okay. So when they get it in their head that weather engineering is a fairy tale, and that's the first mental pathway dug for them when it's first introduced to them, you know, just like when someone's gotten to first by some crazy chemtrail or flat earther or whatever conspiracy theorist, now that frame of reference is that's crazy talk. And then anybody else comes to them, it's like, no, I already know what you people are like, you know what I mean? Same thing with anything. It's like we have this mushy brain, and a new subject means a new mental pathway. I imagine like a snowed in, like 10 feet of snow, and you're going to dig with your snowplow, like a literal thought pattern idea. And is it going to be like up and over the hill? Is it going to be whatever direction it is? It's how you're going to think about it later on in life, because it's already been plowed, if that metaphor made sense. So it's like when something's first introduced to you the first time, hopefully it's introduced to you on a level of truth and not geostorm nonsense, because that I noticed that that's how they're trying to channel the information, is in the fairy tale land. So then when it's next, like when I was in a child, okay. And I know I said the word flat earth a couple of times, we're not really talking about it on the show. And I know it's a trigger word for people. What I mean is, NASA is full of it. They have a budget of now $60 million per day, and they spend it all on not what they say. Okay, they've made some big lie that's reinforced by Hollywood. I don't know what the real truth is necessarily, but we're being lied to big time. They have a full-on chemtrail program. They have patents for chemtrails that go back to the 70s, barium release rockets, all this stuff. I hope you discuss the barium release rockets in your film. And it's full-on the NASA, the BS. Okay, and that's a big trigger word. But it's a trigger because you were, as a child, all of us, we're told that anybody who questions the shape of the earth is a total idiot, and that they were laughed at back when Columbus was sailing, and that they were the idiots, village idiots, and they're all stupid, stupid, stupid them. And we all laughed when we were in kindergarten, because it's like this ridicule mentality, and shame right. them. It was ingrained, it's in our textbooks. And it was reinforced. Hollywood, NASA, it's like, anybody bringing up, and it's a trigger. Like, why can't I talk about that? Like, you get to talk about everything, you know? Right. And I can't question something that's like, not, it shouldn't offend you one bit. It offends you because you don't want to look at it. You don't want to look at it. That's it. So the internet, I want to talk about the bots. There was a Johnny Depp trial and Elon Musk. And both of those on the surface seem like Elon Musk buying Twitter, which I don't think he even ended up doing that. And then the Johnny Depp trial with his wife and all this BS. So all of that on the surface seemed like some social media nonsense. But really what I think mainly that it was is a disclosure that bots were here to like freaking take over the social media. And that's another thing that's going on. So Elon Musk said, oh, I can't buy Twitter because
it's actually a lot more bots than they say. It's like the social media in general, not just Twitter, is overrun by bots and pretend accounts. And then the Johnny Depp, like Joe Rogan and a couple other people disclosed that this Johnny Depp trial, that all the bickering online were just bots baiting people to come and bicker. And so I'm realizing that not only is the like search terms shifting, but we're interacting with like literal, not just trolls, which they're good at being a-holes, but literally we're interacting with, and then there's the idea of like controlled opposition, people who like aren't even exactly who they say they are, pretending to be activists, but not necessarily. But then there's bots, and you've got these things coming at you in groups and agreeing with each other and all this stuff. And what is this to be? A lot of us are still going to stay online. All right. I've got a freaking slider phone, and it's a flip phone. It's 3G. It's getting turned off at the end of the year. And then I'm going to get a 2-way pager. I'm not getting a 5G phone personally. Right. So other people will get 5G phones and all that sort of stuff. And some people will be in the metaverse, and, you know, we'll find that balance in humanity. We're going there. Here we are. You know, people are going to pick their destiny, but either way, we're all going to be involved. And what I think and what I know is it's an amazing opportunity for us to learn to discern. All right. Like when we were doing the Google searches and it said Coke is good for you, we're like, okay, that doesn't sit well in my stomach. Right. There's other insults that we see that are like, wait, that's a total freaking lie. Like the SLAP program or the geoengineering is good for you. We're just going to do climate change lockdowns and your smart meter is going to watch you, make sure you don't leave your house. We'll send you your carbon bill and spray aluminum in your skies. Don't worry, we need to dim your sun. Because it's like when you do write that book, I hope that you include that or focus on that the biggest clamp down on all of humanity, the enslavement, is this lie about energy. Okay. Energy is very free. It can be tapped into very easily, but they create this whole dirty energy thing and this need. Oh, you need dirty energy. You got to be able to drive your car. Yeah. You got to be able to eat. And then it's just like, oh, but that dirty energy is why we have to lock you in your house. You know, long story short. And that is all BS, man. You know, like there was those world fairs, free energy galore, like all that stuff was snuffed out so that we could be enslaved with all of this. When there's climate change lockdowns and they're saying because of your carbon emissions from da 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 da, that's all because of the energy lies. And yep. It only took them a couple hundred years to create this whole, I mean, not even, man, we're talking the Buffalo World Fair was like 1902 and they were beaming free energy all the way from the Niagara Falls to the Buffalo World Fair, like freaking free energy, man. Like it's real. And all that's just been like, the knowledge is very readily available. It's just, again, the mind control and everyone thinks that they need, you know, the Rockefeller nonsense and all that, but the discernment, like if we can learn how to finagle our way on the internet, I think the best way anytime anything happens is like, go to the official story first. It's like, okay, the official story is this crazy shooting, la-ti-da-da-da-da-da-da. Like absorb what they really think they want you to think. And then be like, does that offend me? is my soul, is my gut, like, you know, how does that feel really? And then find like the other side, the conspiracy side. And maybe that's been hijacked. Maybe it's not as extreme or whatever it is. But you can find the truth on your own. You don't need any podcast or anybody telling you how to think and feel. Like the truth is within you is all I'm trying to say.
Yeah. God, I wanted to bring something up and I lost my train of thought.
I talk too much.
no, not at all. I love hearing you
bots.
Talk.
I talked about bots and the AI and like and how it's like people researching on the internet, they're bumping into a lot of like, I mean, I posted something on the internet earlier and literally like someone says something and then people like, oh, I agree. It takes three people agreeing with someone for someone to be like, oh my gosh, like maybe they're right. It's like this group think, like we're all like fish. Right. We're all just like, oh man, watch out. The fish is going that way. Maybe there's a predator. It's like, no, man, just one fish freaked out. Don't listen to other fish. So I go to all these profiles. They're all like fake profiles. They're literally just bots. And I've noticed like there's like for activism, anytime I do a live video and it gets like enough attention, like 1,000 hits or something, you know, because I try to do every social media thing that I can. Anytime anything gets enough, there's a bot that comes along and says exactly this: Matt, you don't look healthy. The activism must be getting to you. You should take a break. Right. And then I click on them and it's some fake bot thing that you can't talk to them. They got no profile. It's like, it feels like a bot. And it's like, I just delete it, but it's like literal verbatim. And it's been like, I've been doing this on Facebook for like a decade now, and they do it all the time. And then you know what that does? People look at it and they're like, oh wait, maybe Matt is kind of skinny. Maybe he's not healthy. Maybe I shouldn't listen to anything that he says, you know? Cause yeah. Like that little seed, you plant that seed of doubt. The seed of doubt is so powerful, brother. Oh my gosh. Because everyone, you know why? Nobody wants to think that they're in the midst of a war for their soul, bro. Right. So it's like any seed of doubt in the up, you're like, oh, okay, cool, perfect. I didn't want to believe that anyways, you know?
I mean, anytime you challenge someone's knowledge about what they know, they just immediately just start attacking your character. They start looking for, like, well, what is your degree in? And they try to validate their way of thinking. And so they look for ways of discrediting you. In mm-hmm. completely disregarding anything that you say. They're trying to look for any reason to just, you know, debunk you, because they don't want to admit that maybe we are being lied to, we are being deceived, and our world is a construct that isn't for the good. It's to enslave us, you know?
Well, Edward Bernays, Sigmund Freud's nephew, he created this like psychological constructs for the fluoride, tobacco, bacon industries. He got involved yeah. in a lot of stuff. And one thing he said was trust the specialist. And he got that in the marketing of all the different industries. And it's this compartmentalization where it's like, I'm not a rocket scientist. You know how many times you heard that in TV and what have you? And what that means is you can't think about that because it's too complex for your little brain. You don't have the $100,000 degree, right? Or whatever it may be. But at the end of the day, guess what? It's all very freaking simple. They want to muddy the waters to make it seem complicated. They want to make you think that you can't think about these things. Mm-hmm. All right? It's just like, if you gave rocket science just a little thought, it would be quite obvious that jet propulsion, like rocket propulsion, the way that rockets work, by having like the rocket engine and it's literally pushing off of oxygen, which is like fluid dynamics, you know, aerodynamics. And like when things are like aerodynamic and not, they go better through the air because of there's actually like fluid. The air is like fluid. So if you're pushing off of that air, once you get to a place where there's no air, like in an atmosphere with no air, like in space or whatever they claim it to be, those things wouldn't work. They don't want you to think about that. They don't want you to think and realize like how these things would and wouldn't work.
Yeah, they want us to believe that ion propulsion will work in a vacuum. And yet right. MIT cannot replicate. They can't replicate what space would be like. And then that ion propulsion engine to move, it can't move because there's nothing to push off. But they claim that it ejects these electrons. And that's what pushes the engine. So it's infinite in how fast it can go. And so when the Artemis crashed into the asteroid, it was going 14,000 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. And yet it looked fake as shit. Like I've never seen anything more stupid in my life. And
what is that? Is that a discernment test? Are they trying to like literally separate a frequency, like people that fall for it and people that don't? It seems like that there's like a bigger divide in that. I mean, right. like when Elon Musk shot the convertible into space, there's definitely the people that are like, that's total BS. And is that like a test? Is everybody being tallied? Is everybody that says that's total BS being added to the list when the alien invasion happens, that we're, you know, first in line or something like that? Or is there going to be like a complete, that's just a joke, but is there going to be a shift in frequencies where some come and some don't? And that could be a purposeful play by putting such obvious nonsense. I think it's just the more stupid people, it's like the movie Idiocracy, you know, like the more that you're shown anything and believe anything that you're shown, the more they can show you anything and you'll believe anything that you're shown. It's just
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
it's just like, it's a sporting event basically. Like it's pro wrestling, and people are buying tickets and they're
Yeah.
shocked and they're like, keep up the good work, wrestlers, kind of thing. So I'd like to talk to you about contrails and chemtrails. Where did you go with your movie in the differences between, or did you?
Actually, I did. I mean, I brought up the whole idea of how it's I don't remember verbatim because I had to write it down and then say it. That it's basically the air, the coldness of the air, and how it would just cut through the air, and that's how the particles would make the contrails appear, and then a real contrail will disappear after a few seconds. I mean, I used to watch that when I was a kid. I mean, lay out in the park and just lay there and just watch airplanes go by, and then I would either see them not have any contrails at all, or if they were high enough, there would be some kind of disruption in the atmosphere, but those trails would go away. They wouldn't stay in the air for all afternoon and spread out to make a giant blanket like they do now. And
Exactly. Yeah. So they used to have engines that would push the plane along, like jet, like a F-16, like a fighter jet or whatever. It's got the engines on the back, and those engines are using like jet propulsion to like push the plane, and they're releasing hot air, and that's like the old engines. But nowadays they've now outfit the majority of the passenger planes and all the other planes out there. And then when we do see lines in the sky, we're primarily seeing drones. Okay, but the planes that are out there now, they have what's called high bypass turbofans. These turbofans are big titanium and steel Rolls-Royce, 2 tons each, big fans, big propellers that are like that have a encasing. They slammed into the Pentagon and then just disappeared. But they're 2 tons each, titanium and steel. So they probably shouldn't have just disappeared into the unbroken glass of the Pentagon, but that's another conspiracy, right? So these things, they spin and create lift over the wing, but they don't produce hot air anymore. They're just basically like propellers. So
Yeah.
they're called high bypass turbofans, and they first came out by General Electric, and now they're maintained and outfit and sold by Rolls-Royce. And they're really awesome, but they don't crank out any hot air at all. So whenever we see the short trails nowadays in this current day and age, those short trails are chemicals. There's not hot air being cranked out by these engines anymore.
Right.
So whenever we see a short trail, that's probably a certain chemical. I'm thinking it's strontium. The medium trail, I'm pretty sure barium. And whenever you see a lot of short and medium trails, then they're priming the sky, I've noticed. So there'll be a lot of those priming the sky. And then once the sky is primed, then later on that day or the next day, they'll come out with the longer ones, which are aluminum, and they'll stick and they'll dissipate. It's kind of a elaborate orchestra. Sometimes you'll see or an elaborate ballet in the sky. It's like so many things going on at once. Sometimes you'll see the small and the medium and the long ones side by side mixing chemicals together. They'll also be doing that. But definitely each one is a different chemical. So you've got the shorter ones that dissipate rather quickly, but they're just spraying something that's not white that you don't see. They can pick it up by with the ground-based stations using radio waves from like NEXRAD-based stations and Doppler and stuff. And then they've got the medium trails that mix, like I said, and the longer ones. And once they get all those mixed together, they'll use harp and zap them and steer weather patterns and all that sort of stuff. There's a patent that I keep that I found, but it's really hard to find now on the internet. Did you ever come across the patent about the aluminum resistant genetics? Because that's a neat like
No.
it connects all the dots. You've got this aluminum Monsanto's aluminum resistance see that they can add to the seeds through this patent, and they have it patented. And then they know what's being sprayed, which is aluminum. So they're making their different crops aluminum resistant through just their patented technology. And there's this patent that was easily available, that I was able to save, and I've got my presentations, but now you can't find it on the internet. It's like gone. It's interesting. People ask me, where was it? And I'm like, it's gone now. It's weird. So that's a really fascinating thing, because if you connect the aluminum, aluminum connects to everything, connects to the shots, connects to the fluoride. Fluoride melts off aluminum when you're in aluminum production. So the two like to bond together in your brain, and that's basically Alzheimer's. You got aluminum in your deodorant, and then it's pooling in your breast tissue, and then people put their phones there, and then you got breast cancer. Aluminum in the sky, right? And then people need to learn how to detox that stuff and get it out of you. I'm learning more about mineralization. You know, it's good to learn about chelation and detoxing, right? But then that's kind of like putting yourself in a vibration of like fear, where you're worried about it, and you're trying to like, it's like not owning your terrain. I'm a total terrain theorist, and if you can just own your terrain and mineralize your body, and make sure your body is up to speed on all of its, you know, intake, and you're treating your body as well as you can, and your body's your temple, then you're not going to be absorbing the toxins that other people are that are demineralized. When you're mineral deficient, you're absorbing toxins from the environment, hoping to get those minerals. But if you're not mineral deficient, you're not absorbing those toxins like you could be and would be, which is a key I've learned.
Yeah. Speaking of learning, I mean, I'm learning something new every day. And, you know, like my wife, I mean, we were just talking about how she was telling me how I'm so into conspiracy and so much into truth that we don't know exactly what the truth is. But, you know, mainstream has been lying to us our entire lives. And so we know for a fact that all the things that we've been told and what's on television is 100% bad for you. So if it's on television, don't do it. And but I'm constantly learning about our environment and like what to eat. Like, we started a garden this year, and so we're learning how to grow things on our own and just eat more healthy. And just, I mean, we don't eat pork anymore. We don't eat shellfish. I mean, that's like one of the main things that we've learned, that all those things that they do for the earth, I mean, they eat the toxins that are in the earth. So don't eat them. And so I'm just learning so many things about how to detoxify and just, you know, drink cleaner water for one. And then I don't remember the last time I had a soda, other than like, you know, like an annual party where there's nothing else, you know. But I wanted to get into your opinion on something. I've been thinking about this for quite a bit, because there's all these like weather modification, you know, committees, and they seem like small factions, and they're all, you know, they use these Cessna planes, and they modify them to equip them with like these, you know, weather modification apparatuses, where they dump like silver iodide in the atmosphere. But it seems to me that these are decoys, because they kind of coexist at the same time, because the military is doing it, and they have these giant planes that are just retrofitted with like giant canisters of these chemicals. And so what we're actually seeing, I've never seen a Cessna fly by and have seen trails come off of them. And so I feel like they're kind of like a decoy, and they're allowed, and you know, you can see the type of licensing that they have, and you can see what they're actually spraying and what they talk about. And they, you know, they're claiming that they're doing such a great job, but then at the same time, these giant commercial planes are flying above them, and they're dumping like these giant trails that never dissipate. And what's your thought on that?
Great job. I think that you're spot on. And when you were just telling me that, it started to click. Like, there was this like supposed activist that I was questioning at one point, and he ended up going mental and like making the whole thing look bad. But he was going to these weather modification organization meetings. They have these annual meetings, and then like, so the conspiracy theorists are all like, some of them are going there trying to crash it, and some of them are going there like being like, oh, here I am. And and it's kind of like when activists like sneak into the Bilderberg group, you know. Yeah. It's like, come on, man, they would kill your ass if that was real, bro. Yeah, right. like Alex, like, come on, like just certain Alex Stein. Things
Alex Stein, I told him about the Texas Weather Modification Advisory Committee. I'm like, you need to contact them. I have to approve you, but they may kick you out.
Yeah, I mean, it gets to just like a level of like there's a logic thing there where certain things are exposed for certain reasons, and it's like slight disclosure, but or not, you know, it's like breadcrumbing. It's like gives you a little bit, and but we're dealing with like a new world order. We're dealing with NASA, and maybe even, okay, don't completely discredit everything that I've said so far, but we could be dealing with like something really beyond our comprehension. Like I've seen planes like look like they're holograms and stuff. Like they have some really serious tech. Like are they dealing with like, I don't know. I don't want to say like, are they working with nefarious aliens? But there definitely seems to be a plan to like get us like turned into robots with nanotech, and chemtrails are right there in that agenda. It's like if they can aerosolize whatever they want, spray us on us, and we're like la-ti-da, that's for our own good. That's really slippery slope, bad news stuff. So, yeah, no, there, it's very deep evil agenda stuff. I mean, I was at the gym the other day in the sauna, and people were talking, and one guy actually brought up Klaus Schwab. I was blown away. I was like, wow. But nobody else had any clue. Like, who's that? What's that? It's like World Economic Forum, all this stuff. They're like, what's that, huh? They're like talking about current events. They didn't even know about that stuff. I'm like, man, yeah. So I think you're spot on, and that gives people basically what that does is a lot. But one thing that it does is someone like me, who I grew up in the DC area, all my friends work for like government kind of stuff, Northrop Grumman or whatever, and I'm my friends especially and me, it's not going to be that easy to convince us that something conspiracy crazy is going on. So if we do actually do the research, that's what we're going to find. And we're going to be like, oh, okay, that makes sense. And then it's like, you don't need to do any further digging and see that there's like shape shifting, freaking hologram, like weird things. People are filming weird things, like chemtrails with no planes and stuff. There's definitely weird stuff going on. You know, it's not just, you know, surface level things. I mean, it's all very layered. So, and that's kind of like PSYOP kind of like mentality. I noticed that the okay, and I'm not here saying, oh, hey, the earth is flat. I'm not saying that right now. I'm saying when the concept came out in our modern day, like 6 years ago, whenever it was, it came out under the umbrella of total nut jobs. So people who were like total nutters came out, had their own podcast, were like, oh man, look at this. So that when anybody, it's like the mental pathway thing I was talking about. So people are first introduced to the subject, and you come to a bunch of nutters, and you're like, okay, I can't even go there. These people are nuts. And then you don't even give it, if you're kind of that level, you don't even give it another go ever again. But some people, it's like, wait, you know, maybe it's like a little bit in some deeper stuff. Like I'm a firm believer in like magnetism and buoyancy and a lot of other things, and the gravity just doesn't add up like they necessarily say, and the tide's moving, it doesn't, nothing adds up like they say. So I personally dig deeper and find my own, but I'm very easily just thrown into a box. I'm like, oh, I don't think the moon landing's real. Flat earther. It's like, whoa, dude. It's like very obviously the moon landing's not real. You already have a box for me.
Well, yeah, because if you go on
You know?
YouTube or Google search flat Earth, I mean, they have the disc in space with the water falling off, or they have an image of the flat Earth on the back of a turtle in space with all the planets all around, and it's like, no, that's not what we believe. That is a government agency created psyop. It literally is. I mean, it was created the year that NASA was created. So they wanted to make people who thought the Earth was still flat, which most people in the world still thought that the Earth was flat. You go to all the almanacs and you go to all the encyclopedias, they showed pictures of a flat Earth. And so even like the 1961 when the United Nations were introduced in Time Magazine, they showed a flat Earth, and they still use that symbol today. So it's they put the truth in broad daylight, and it's up to us to discern what is the actually the truth. And then we're just constantly confused with this globe model and all, NASA and all this other garbage. And so when you say flat Earth, I mean, you think of flat Earth society. I mean, Obama mentioned it a bunch of times. I mean, he planted it because it was becoming a popular thing back in 2014. And so they had to redirect people to flat Earth society so they would think that flat earthers were just complete lunatics.
But yeah, sorry, but you know what's messed up is your wife is right. We don't have enough information. So it's like we know that we're given lies, okay? And but that's not enough for people. It's like, hey, I know what they're saying is a lie. So then people say, well, what's it like on the other side? And how about this? And how come the moon looks like? It's like, I just know that there's lies, but we don't have enough info necessarily. So we're in this place of like, we know that it's all fabricated. We're trying to piece it together. And at the end of the day, she's absolutely correct. So we have to like basically be okay with just knowing that it's lies and that the truth is going to kind of come to us more as we progress, as we progress, as like more becomes available to us. I don't know how, maybe on the spiritual astral realm kind of thing,
Probably.
but at least we do know that what they're saying is false, right? And when we start to not resonate with falsehoods, I think that's one of the biggest play. Everyone is like, oh, why does it even matter? Because you're walking around believing a lie. Your whole life is a lie. And once you start to resonate in truth 100% across the board, then you start to become the best that you can be, which is like a force to be reckoned with, I think. This is like what they're afraid of. That's why they dumb us down with the frequency warfare, everything. I mean, fluoride, 5G chemtrails, media, all of it,
Yeah, there's just so many things. I mean, it's an ongoing investigation. It's never going to be a close case. Oh, the people say, oh, there's telescopes all over the world, and there's spaceships and there's satellites. Well,
Most of those telescopes are owned by the Vatican,
yeah,
BTW. Yeah, in
exactly.
case people don't know that. And then what's a telescope? Like it's looking at, yeah, I mean, maybe that's a hologram out there. Looking outwards doesn't show what we are. It's not looking in a mirror. Like people can't even grasp that alone. Sorry to interrupt you.
No, you weren't interrupting. Like one of my co-workers, I mean, I work at a high school, and she showed me I saw a moon on her app, and I was like, oh, what's that? And she showed me, and I just kind of scrolled through it, and I went through a few months, and I'm like, do you ever wonder why we only see one side of the moon? She's like, yeah, I wondered that. And that was like my introduction of like, okay, maybe it's because we only see one side of the moon because there only is one side of the moon. We aren't spinning, and when they're the Earth and the moon aren't perfectly spinning, so we only see the one side. I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, that's a lie that could just be proven. We don't have any other evidence except we only see the one side of the moon. And we see it all day. Most of the time, we see it all day long. It never goes away.
There's a quote by somebody, a president or something. When, oh no, J. Edgar Hoover, when the American public is faced with a lie so big that it's just like that big, then there's no way they can like accept it and believe it. And like having been lied to about the moon and having been lied to because it's, and I've been like a crazy movie buff recently. Oh my gosh, Mikey. So it's been smoky here from the summer. And so I was just like, all right, I'm gonna watch freaking crazy movies. I watched like, I'm like working. Yeah, I got my stuff I'm doing, but like I watched probably like 100 movies this summer.
Whoa.
And I realized that it's all been a setup, man. Like this 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, every decade was its own film stock, its own genre, and all riddled throughout was violence, yes, and sci-fi. And all up in the sci-fi is just like globe references and space references and space travel references and all of it. It's all programmed.
Yep.
But what really was fascinating was like we got completely played. The 1900s was all like it's all been planned out. The year, the decades, the identity through the decades. And then 2000 is like this kind of digital feeling number. It's not like 1891 or whatever. It's like 2000. And it's been planned that way to like introduce digital tech and the internet then, and to lose the human identity that came with the social cultural structure of the decades. So now we're like the tens, the 20s. And it's like, we're just, all we had was what? Nothing. It's just like, it's just tech now. And although we had this rhythm of having our being, our like our culture be this like every decade something new, now it's like they did that to set up transhumanism. Like we're basically like lost. Like we lost our groundings, you know, like what do we pass down? What do we watch? We got to go back and watch stuff from the 80s and 90s now. Like everything's garbage. Like everything fizzled after 9/11 when that was like one of the beginning of like the true hijacking, timeline hijack or whatever, I think. But yeah, it's interesting. It's very fascinating to see how the media has developed. And especially, have you seen the movie Capricorn 1?
No.
One, 1970s movie, really quick. So these astronauts, they're going to go to Mars, okay? And they're about to take off in their spaceship. And one of them's OJ. It's three astronauts. One of them's OJ Simpson. And they come, and it's like countdown, 3, 2, and they come and get the astronauts out. And they're like, come on, guys. And the ship goes or whatever, but the astronauts, they're just like, what? And they're like, dude, we're all going to do it from a movie set. And it's Capricorn 1. It's the best movie. It's like, what? And then they do it from a movie set, but then these astronauts, they have a conscience. They have like, they want to not lie. And then the movie producers like find out and try to kill them. And then the whole movie unravels and they end up killing each astronaut. It's not even a happy ending. It's like reality, bro. It's like, whoa, it's really good. But then people watch it and it's like, oh, that's not reality because it's a movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like hidden in plain sight. It's very strategic and diabolical and smart how they hide it in plain sight. Something else.
I've heard about that movie so much that I feel like I've seen it. But it's because every flat earther has talked about it. Mm-hmm. Wasn't it done by Stanley Kubrick? I want to think it is. That it was like one of the deals that he made with NASA to help him produce the movie. And that was like his tell. Like, these are the clues of what I did for NASA.
Mm-hmm. Well, he did disclose a lot in The Shining. And there's people that do breakdowns of The Shining and the Apollo mission and show like how he, unreal. But no, I'm not sure if Kubrick did that one, but yeah, rest in peace, poor guy. I think it seems like he was doing Eyes Wide Shut and disclosed a little bit too much. The movie's super creepy, but he died in the midst of it. And once you grasp like Bohemian Grove and what's really going down and all the weird sex magic and stuff that they do, it does make sense why he died for doing what he did. Right. That's what I mean. Like there's no real whistleblowers or real like organizations up in the front, like doing things. Cause if they're really exposed, you know, they get the New World Order, like does it, they clean up, you know, yeah. It's hard to be involved and then you can't really sell your soul and then come out and be a whistleblower. So that's another thing about, I know I kind of just went on another thought, but a lot of people are like, well, why don't they come out and tell us about the spraying, or how do they spray themselves? And how can, oh, there's all these questions. People, there's like 5 to 10 questions that are the same questions that everyone already always asks about chemtrails. You know, why would they do it to themselves? One of the first like 2 or 3 questions. It's like, it's a very covert, you know, why don't they come out and say, where are the whistleblowers? Dude, they would kill him and his family. He's working for the bad guy. He's already sold his soul. You know, people don't grasp the depths of it all. And then also people that are working for it all, they're on a need to know basis. They think they're saving the world through stopping global warming or whatever lies are being told. You know, it's all mind control in and of itself too. So it's layered.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of Stanley Kubrick, I mean, when Eyes Wide Shut was released, I mean, it wasn't Well, before he was released, he died. So it wasn't the movie that the producers wanted him to make. And so when he died, they just re-edited the movie. So it doesn't make any freaking sense at all if you watch it now. It's like there's so many holes and it's kind of confusing. So it barely touches on the demonic rites that they go through. So, I would love to see the original, director's cut version, but that's never going to happen because they probably just deleted those scenes forever, revealing what he really wanted to put in the movie, So
Yeah,
we'll
that
never
definitely
know.
seems to be the case. Yeah, it's it the soundtrack gives me nightmares anyway, so I don't think I'll be breaking that movie down anytime soon,
No.
but very creepy. I think I heard he died in the midst of it, so maybe some of it didn't even get made, but yeah, for sure, very creepy.
Well, Matt, I don't know. What do you think? Is there anything else that we could possibly bring up about chemtrails that we didn't touch on?
I take CMOS, SEAMOSS. I found out about it. It's just it's like kelp. It's a seaweed, but it's very mineral dense. So I've been learning about taking the CMOS. It's got almost all. We need 104 of minerals. So it's got almost all the 104 minerals that we need on a daily basis in it. So mineralizing is very key in staying healthy in this environment that's chock full of environmental toxins. So I'd like to just mention that. And then also I want to say that like time spent away from technology, try to balance out your life. Like how much time per day do you spend away from your phone? Like be honest. And try to bookend your days where you're not just hopping on your device first thing in the morning and you're not getting on it last thing before you go to bed. Try to like balance out the tech in your world, because as technology becomes more and more pervasive, we're going to have to find a way as activists, as humans, as spiritual beings to find a balance in this world, whatever it may be as it becomes what it is. And in doing so, we'll be able to be grounded and level-headed and be able to see the truth through all the lies and nonsense that, we're going to have to face, unfortunately. And please honor the children. They need all that we can give them. So honor the kids as much as you can, even if it's not your own children. Do what you can to show the light for them, teach them something, guide them in your own way. You know what I mean? Like someone told me once, if you can't read it, don't eat it. I was in my 20s. I was like, huh? And they're like, if you can't read the ingredient, don't eat it. And I was like, oh, you mean like read the ingredients on the back of the. And they're like, yeah, the ingredients are in the back, dude. And I was like, oh, cool. And ever since then, changed my life. I had heartburn, I had a beer belly, like I was super unhealthy. Just that little seed planted changed my entire life direction. So imagine what you can do with the kids nowadays. They're all bright. They're just waiting for you to let them know what's up. So thanks for you having me on, brother, and I hope we can do it again.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Where can people find your actual activist website?
Yeah, I've got my movies available at frankenskies.com. Like Frankenstein, but skies. And then I've got the activist hub at actualactivists.com. And on there, you can learn about all sorts of truth, you name it, 5G, fluoride, whatever. And then also, I have an EMF protection clothing line that I have blackout bags for your phone bag for no track and trace for the COVID and all this nonsense, privacy violations and all that. And I've got, you name it, for EMF protection at SPERO, sparrowgear.com, and Sparrow Gear on Instagram. Sparrow is a Latin word for hope, and I strive to bring hope to the next generation, so that's why I named it that. And I'm also Matt Landman on Facebook, where I've got about 70,000 followers and still running strong, getting censored here and there, but the Facebook gods do allow me to still exist, so I'm very thankful for that. So find me
Nice.
over there while I'm still thriving. Thank you.
Well, I just noticed that you made an improvement to your Sparrow ferret cases because before they rolled out 5G and turned them on, they were working fine, but they made an improvement to their 5G towers and now it was going through the bags, and so you made a recent change and now it doesn't penetrate the lining anymore. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's been quite the journey, and I've been in this amazing, it's been an opportunity for me to be in this space to witness the advances in 5G radiation. So I made these foam bags, and you put your phone in, it blacks out the bag, and they worked all over the world. And my supplier made them for everyone all over the world, and they were selling a lot in Israel and Germany and Asia and North America. Put any
Nice.
phone in it, and it blacks it out. But then, right when we got locked down in March 2020, the phone started ringing through those bags. So I had to make double layered bags. And then, when the next variant came rolling out, Omicron, the iPhones started penetrating those double layered bags. So I made these
Interesting.
gangbuster, like, 2 layers of silver, a layer of copper, nickel composite. Like, nothing's getting through these new bags, but I had to adjust. And I know that some of my competitors got totally kicked out of business, because when you're buying stuff from a factory, they make you get like 20,000 of something, you know what I mean? We're like investing in all these things, and then they just, like, the tech changes overnight. Unbeknownst to us, they're cranking that 5G up. Like, it's something that we're not used to. It's a totally different type of radiation. It's a different type of radiation that humans have never been exposed to. And so being exposed to something that's penetrating these layers of metal, it's very telling that low-level radiation sickness is happening to people across the board, and potentially people are having symptoms and thinking it might be something else, is all I'm saying.
Well, that's another thing that people are just not willing to accept, that there is any kind of danger. And in other countries, I mean, they're already rolling out 6G and 7G, and it's like it's insanity that it's tied, like the 7G is like connected to your seven chakras. And I don't know too much about that, so I can't really speak on it that much, but there is a connection between the 7G and seven chakras in your body.
Yeah, I don't know much about that. I don't even know about the tech. I bet it's probably just called 7G, and it's probably the 5G tech, because 5G tech utilizes millimeter size waves, and those absorb in everything they hit. They can't go very far. They're actually, like, it's actually weaponized tech. I don't think that anything could be, unless they've already figured out how to carry things on, like, literal light waves. But I think that's just names. They're just names. Like, 5G tech is, they're going to put that infrastructure all over the planet, and then that's how the Internet of Things and self-driving cars and everything will work. But it requires infrastructure that's yet to be completely rolled out. I mean, the signal can only go like 500 feet. It absorbs in everything it hits. So now they got all the phones working as small cell towers and all this, and, like, maybe people, carriers are calling it 6G to sell it, but it's really just a carrier wave measured in millimeters, just the same. It's absorbing into everything it hits, and part of the depopulation agenda, New World Order agenda, 2030, 2050, all that crap.
It's crazy stuff. But and about your second movie, what's the status on that, and when do you think that would
Plugging
be?
along, man. Hopefully they lock us inside our houses and we buck the system and pitchfork their asses, and then I can put that in the movie. But until then, I'm waiting for, like, a really nice closure for the film. I'm filming it. We'll see what happens. I mean, there's good stuff happening. Like, they froze up Texas a couple years ago, and then they just blasted Florida with this hurricane, which was very obviously engineered. So there's a lot going on. But until Klaus Schwab really talks about climate change lockdowns, I'm waiting for that real, I mean, I'm not in a huge rush, because there's not going to be a Frankenskies 3, I don't think, you know what I mean? So I was at for Frankenskies 1, I was in a huge rush, and now I'm just kind of letting it unfold, unravel. I've got some amazing footage. It's not done. It's not done yet, basically.
All right. Well, look forward to it, and if I
Next
can
year, I'm
contribute.
hopeful for next year. Yeah, and I'd like
All
your
right.
help if you want to help. That'd be
Yeah,
great.
if I can contribute in any way, I'd love to. All right, Matt. Well, it was great talking with you. Appreciate you coming on, and it was a pleasure finally talking to you, face to face, even though it's online.
You too. And thank you for your work in chemtrails. And, we need everyone, all hands on deck. So.
Definitely. Yeah, I can't wait for my friend. We belong in a Telegram together, and he was just at the Dallas City Council trying to get advocate to have fluoride taken out of our drinking water. There's a small town that's here in Dallas, and they advertise that they don't have fluoride in the water. So if they can do it, anyone else can do it. And I mean, it
Exactly.
costs the city money, so why would they want to spend you know, however much money that they spend in this toxic chemical. So we just have to educate people around us and, you know.
And put it to a vote. You can still do that. Make ordinances and have the community put in their 2 cents.
All right, Matt. We'll just end it right there. And it was great talking to you.
You as well. Thank you so much and have a nice afternoon or evening there. Peace.
Thanks.
See ya. Thank you.
Thanks. Wow, what an incredible interview with Matt Landman. Learn more about him and his activism by going to www.actualactivist.com, or you can click the links in the description below. Now, I hope you enjoyed today's episode and you learned something new. I also hope I included everything I wanted to talk about. You know, after every interview, I always listen back and I think to myself, oh man, I should have said this or I should have asked that. You know, it just never fails. You know, I do have some amazing interviews coming your way in the coming weeks, including an interview with Travis of DFW True Earthers. He's a local guy who I personally know, and he's just an amazing guy, and he has a bunch of groups that I belong to in the community, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics, including religion, activism in the community, homesteading, gardening, firearms, living off the grid, and tiny homes. I'm also going to have, I'm going to be making an appearance on Deborah Gets Red Pilled with Adam and Deborah. And I believe we're going to be talking about the education system and its corruption. And then I'm going to have Moro Bob of Hidden in Plain Sight on the show to talk about the Globe Earth, Hollow Earth, and hidden history. Thank you so much for watching and listening to this episode. Please comment and leave a 5-star review if you enjoy this episode or if you enjoy the show. And then like and subscribe to us on YouTube and Rockfin. Until next time, this is Mikey J. I'm out.
Britannia won't raise a flag, and everything you know will be past tense. Need any help with your back, sir? Are you checking out early again? Your ignorance.